Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. You aren't going to find anything else like it. They are our sponsors because I own three of them, and I truly believe in this machine. I truly believe in the people that work there and the product. Mention Coach Unplugged, and they'll give you $400 off. Just say, Coach Collins sent me. Coach Unplugged sent me, and they'll take really, 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 really good care of you. Trust me. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial. You're going to want to check it out before prices increase. You know, it's just that things happen. Coach Collins has only got so many hours in a day. Go over and check it out. It's got the roadmap. It's got everything that you need to become a better basketball coach in one stop. You know, if you're looking for clinic videos, if you're looking how to break a 1-3-1, if you're looking how to run a zone offense, if you're looking how to pick an offense, if you're looking for anything, it's got it there for you. As I hit my microphone, oh well. It also helps us pay the bills, helps us keep all these podcasts, the High School Hoops and 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcasts and Funnel Down and all these things free to you. Teachhoops.com is what pays the bills and keeps the lights on. So we'd love if you went over and check that out, and let's head off to the podcast. All right, welcome to Coach Unplugged, the chaos version. I was talking to Coach Maddox about this beforehand. It's like the house is like my house is getting appraised. So what we're going to do, Coach Maddox, I'm going to have you introduce yourself. Yep. And then what I have you do is just kind of tell our listeners your journey, your basketball journey.
Okay.
Where it started.
Yeah.
You know, where you played. I know where you played, but everything that's kind of that journey. And then kind of, I think it's a very unique story of how you ended up where you ended up and what you're doing now. And then we'll talk some hoops after that. But
that sounds great.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Steve, let me just say this first. Just thank you for your work and thank you for having me on. It's an honor. I've obviously followed the podcast for many, many years. And so I just appreciate all the work that you do and are doing. And so, it's a privilege to be sitting here on the screen with you. And so I hope in Madison, Wisconsin.
This is a lot more fun than that because it's like my wife sometimes thinks I'm just talking to myself in my office. Like, like you never sure anyone listens. So I appreciate it. I really do.
Yes. Thank you. And as a guy that just launched a podcast, you know, we're only three episodes in. You're well down the road from us. So, and you said you did listen. So I know now that between you and my wife, we have two listeners. So that's good.
Two downloads. That's good. Yes. Two downloads.
My name's Drew Maddox. I'm a lifetime Nashvilleian. My story of basketball connection precedes multi-generations before I was even born. It's been deeply rooted in the fabric of my family. Going back to my grandfather played basketball at Vanderbilt. graduated in 1948. My father played basketball at Vanderbilt, graduated in 1973.
So they both played at Vanderbilt.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
It is funny how sports, like, so you're one of the first ones. It is interesting how sports are kind of inbred in, I mean, they're into families. Like,
yes,
my grandfather played football at Marquette.
Yeah,
they don't have football anymore. Yeah, yeah, he played against
Albert Wire coach him. I mean,
I know he ended up being a college. I mean, I'm like fifth generation teacher. He ended up being
beautiful.
He ended up being head Division III coach in Wisconsin. And I think that's so interesting for us as fathers. It's interesting too.
Because now I see it now that I'm a father of five. I've watched that. And it wasn't something intentionally done. It just kind of just the essence of the family and the exposure to it, it just passed on to your kids, you know? Right. So my girls were interested in basketball. My sons are interested in basketball, you know, just like it just starts happening. My nephews, my nieces, everybody's just into it. And so it goes back to, you know, many, many years ago. And so then I'll fast forward the story real quick.
Before we go, before we jump into that, are you coaching your kids?
I do. I've coached all of my daughters. Okay. And I have two sons.
Okay.
And they're not to the high school level yet, but I coach, you know, their little travel team and, you know, their rec league team.
It's a sad day when it ends. Trust me.
Yeah.
But it is the best journey ever. It is.
Well, that's a great encouragement to me because you hear sometimes the other side of the horror story. How it changes the dynamic in the relationship.
No, and part of it is like, I definitely probably was harder on my son, but it's about setting ground rules. And it's about like, I'm dad. And I just happened to coach you in basketball. I coached him in two sports at our school. Cause he played boys volleyball. So he had me for six seasons.
Yeah.
And what we, when he was a freshman, I'll tell you this story, coach, you'll love this. When we were freshmen, I would drive him to school because obviously he couldn't drive and stuff. And we'd have great conversations. And that was one of the sad parts when he got his license because I missed that. But in one of those conversations, we made a rule that as soon as we got pulled into the driveway, we were done. Like we couldn't talk basketball anymore unless he brought it up. If he wanted to watch a film, if he wanted to talk about it, it was great.
Yeah.
And then about a month into it, he goes, Dad, can we do it as soon as we walk to the car? I go, yep, we can.
Not even the car ride.
Not even the car ride. Go, yes, we can do that. As soon as we get to the building, we're done. The dad thing is, and literally there's times with my wife that I'm wearing a baseball hat right now for those of you that are listening, because we put this on YouTube. But I sometimes have two hats and I'll say to my wife, are you talking to the coach hat? And then I'll think, are you talking to the dad hat?
Sure.
Which
one
are you talking to? So that's a hard separation, but
truly
one of the joys of my life.
It. Well, thank you for that encouragement. Yeah, that's good to hear.
It will be good. It will be great.
Because it is something as a dad, you know, I didn't coach my daughters obviously because I coach boys varsity basketball, but with my sons, as they've been getting closer and closer, now they're in the middle school program and they're going to start moving on up. I have to tell you, like, I was like, you know, is this something that I'm willing to put my chips in the middle of the table and be dad and coach? You know, is this something we're going to go all in on, or do we need to draw, you know, some line of delineation and move another direction?
And it's also, you have to read your kid. Like, I knew my son, we've had discussions after even.
Yeah.
You have to set some, like, because they're going to hear stuff. They're going to, like, what kind of kid are they to be able to avoid some of that, know that, you know. I probably went the other way and I probably was harder and played him less maybe at times than, anyway, I was probably the other way, which is hard. It is a hard thing.
Coaching them at a young age, what you just described is how I find myself. I do see their mistakes a little more and you teeter on that a little bit more. You're like, maybe I should sub them out, you know, where you may extend more grace another direction to another child.
Yeah.
So I'll just feel that. I can only imagine when the stakes get a little higher.
Well, if you have good assistants, I'm going to tell you something. I've had two coaching staffs in 20 plus years. It's crazy. Yeah. And I have a staff that I trust. And there were times where they would turn to me and they go, why is Drew not on the floor? Because he's a coach's kid. He can shoot the freaking
lights out. It's a great name too, by the way.
It is a great name. I wanted to name him Bryce after Bryce Drew, but my wife didn't like Bryce, but I snuck in Andrew and got Drew. Yeah. So I've worked the back end on it. It was a whole Velpo thing. Anyway.
You know, Bryce is one of my good friends too. He was here at Vanderbilt for more.
He's a great, I never remember. I'll never forget that game. But anyway, so a roundabout way he was named after Bryce Drew.
That's awesome.
It is. But anyway, it's like, I think it's important. It's a hard struggle. I agree. It's a very hard struggle.
Well, I think anybody that is listening to this, you know, whether you've been in an employment situation and you've worked in a family business, or now you're, you know, more of the CEO type that's leading the office and your kids are now walking. I mean, there's always that dynamic where when family spills over into other aspects of life, I mean, you're always looking for those boundaries and those balance.
And like I was saying, the staff would tell me, you got to play, like, he can shoot like no light. Like, why isn't he in there? And it's like, you're almost overcompensating. You probably feel this at the younger age. Yes. You're almost overcompensating the other way.
Right. That's right.
And one of my coaches said, stop it. That's not fair to Drew. You're punishing Drew for being your son. Don't give him a benefit because he's
right.
But don't punish him. It's like,
sure.
So that balance.
That's good.
Ooh, it's hard. It's
Well, I'm with you, Coach. You know, I got a great and fantastic staff.
So that's
and,
good.
You know, they'll be able to hear those other voices, which will be very important.
Yep.
And sometimes even if I may want the message to go, I may have to whisper it and get the message told, but it's not coming from me.
Oh yeah.
But you gotta have a great team of support.
Right. Like if dad's saying it, because I'm still dad, yes. But it's like, that's why they knew they had to take some of those roles on, yes. Like when to talk to them. Why aren't you like doing this? Because if I do it, it's like, well, dad's on me. Why is dad on me?
Right.
Anyway. Yeah. It's a joy. I'm 100% behind it, but it's like everything in life. There's pluses and minuses, and it's worth it. In my opinion. Sure. All right, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I thought that
it's great because I love what you're saying, just how things get woven into family stories. And obviously, you know, not just basketball, but the gift of sport is very, very impactful as it relates to the stories of all the people in my family.
Right.
And, you know, just trying to set it up that even predestined to me being born, it was already in the fabric. And so when I, you know, came into the world, when our kindergarten teacher asked me, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And here's your blank sheet of paper and a canvas, go create. I drew on a sheet of paper, you know, myself in a Vanderbilt uniform wearing my dad's number 45.
Right.
Just because I knew, you know, we were going to games and I was very exposed to the program. My dad was very involved and basketball was a big deal in our house. And so we watched games, we watched, you know, television, we followed the Commodores. And so that's all I wanted to do when I was, you know, at a young age. That was the vision I had for my life.
Right.
And so I began at early age, you know, elementary school, middle, and then into high school. I worked like crazy, not just on the court, but, you know, in the classroom, citizenship, decision-making. It kept me accountable to everything that went on in my life, of missing dances, of after midnight parties or whatever it was. It was always that check in my spirit that kept me accountable to a bigger calling and a higher vision of what I hope my life was going to become.
Yeah. And Vandy's real deal. That's a really good school academically. So you weren't going to coast through high school and get into Vandy. No.
It kicked my butt. I mean, my first 2 years, it was a whirlwind, just academically, socially, of course, athletically. You're just, everything is a different level. The stakes are raised. Everything's harder, bigger, faster, stronger. And that's in everything. The competition.
Well, you're working. I've had NBA to, I can't even count how many collegiate guys. I tell them this, you're applying for a job.
Yes.
This is a job. It's a fun job.
Yep.
But it's a job. Like there's people's livelihoods depending on whether you put that ball in that hoop.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
And you feel it. You know, you do feel it. And so the one great thing that I was so thankful for, though, Coach, as it relates to that aspect, in this world where at a very early age, kids become free agents. And what that means is, you know, if I don't like what's going on this little league team, I jump to this team. Well, that, you know, as it goes to middle school and the high school and the transfer rate in college, and, you know, then it goes into marriage and divorce rates and, I mean, employment rates. It just keeps going.
Right.
The one thing that I was so very thankful for on those days when struggle, adversity, and toughness was entered into the day, where I was making excuses or casting blame with my father's experience, being able to say and ground me and advise me on, no, you do have what it takes. You can push through. What can you learn from this situation? Are you doing everything that you can possibly do? No, we're not going to look for another school. It's not the coach's fault. You know, right. All of those things. And so what I learned.
I wish that happened more. Yes. Like, there's kids that come to my program. There's kids that leave my program. I in my 20s, I would have lost a lot of sleep. It's like, I was just talking to my wife about it. We went to get a bike for my daughter, and we were driving back, and I told her about, you know, I said, this one student's going to leave. And I said, I don't know why he's leaving. He might be leaving because of COVID. I'm never going to question a family on what they do for their kid, because every parent's got to make their own decision. I get that. But I think the easy way out is, tends to be the norm. I agree. Yes. And when you're more centered, like, my parents would have laughed at me if I'd have come home and complained about a coach. Are you kidding me? Yeah. If I'd have come home and said, my teacher gave me two homework, both my parents, they would have looked at me like, what are you talking about?
Yes,
like,
exactly. Exactly.
It's like, it's not the teacher's fault. It's not your coach's fault.
Right.
What are you doing? Like, yes. Study, you know?
And what you found out in all of those moments, what was, you did have more to give. Maybe you weren't doing everything that you could possibly do. And so you were learning, you were a work in progress, you were in process, and you never arrived at a destination or result of any final product. And I think that was the beauty of my collegiate experience, being from a family that understood that there's going to be good days, bad days. You know, there's going to be days when there's fans in the stadiums, and there's going to be hard days at 6 a.m. when nobody's there.
Right.
You're the same guy pursuing excellence regardless of what's going on.
It's that growth mindset too. I know people talk about so much of that. Like I talk about this at camp. I take a ball and I say, I live about 2 miles from school. I can dribble this ball home. Do you believe that? And then they all raise their hands because they see me dribble. I was a decent collegiate D3 player. I could dribble a ball.
Yeah.
And I go, but am I getting any better by that? No. Because I'm not pushing it. I said, I will applaud you when you do your ball handling and the ball goes all over the gym.
That's right.
You're going to that point of improvement.
That's right.
Failure is a good thing. And it's like, then that was hard. It took me till my 30s to figure that out.
Yes.
I don't know. Our generation was more, you know, but it's like, failure is a good thing.
Yes.
As long as you take it and learn something from it.
Yes. Well, I think that was one of the things that really, you know, spoke to me as I was thinking about even pursuing coaching, was what I wanted to do in the lives of the kids I served was the very thing I struggled with, which is what you just described, perfectionism, right? I mean, so you lived and died with the result. You know, your personhood was dependent on that ball going on the basket. Forget the coach. It was my personhood on the line. It was my identity on the line. How we performed in between those lines drove everything. How I viewed myself, how I felt others viewed me, the way I viewed the world. I mean, all of it. And so the one thing I always said was, you know, if I ever got back into coaching, which is a long journey, how I ended up in coaching, was I wanted to have a culture that was built on, and I know it's cliche, but on love, where those kids felt free to make a mistake.
Right.
Yeah, we're gonna have a boundary line, a boundary freedom line, where there's accountability, sure, but within that, I want you to go chase everything that you can possibly chase, and if you screw it up and you're going as hard as you can, we'll live with whatever that result is, because we're gonna learn through that. Stand up, shake it off, dust yourself off, and go play the next play the best way you can.
I'm telling you, love is one of the keys to being like the, you and I combined have won a lot of basketball games. Trust me, a lot of basketball games. Yeah. But the part of that reason is it's, I'm not going to quote Last Chance You, but a little bit of it's true is they have to love you and want to run through a wall for you first before the X's and O's matter.
Absolutely.
I think all these coaches spend all this time on this and this and this and this. And it's like, if they don't love you and nothing's going to happen. Trust me.
You know, it's so funny, Coach, because we get a lot of attention, particularly based on the offensive end, because we're very efficient. The way we shoot the ball.
Right.
We led the state in Tennessee in scoring again this past year, you know, many years. They see that.
What's your points per possession?
We were like 1.3 this last year. It was we were insane. We averaged 12.6 threes made per game. I mean, it's nuts, you know, so people like see us and they, right.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But, you know, so I get asked about shooting and more like what you're describing, like the technique, the mechanics, the X and O side of it. And whenever I get asked to speak at anything or a coach wants to come watch our practice, I start with, first of all, just your person-centered approach to loving kids. What is your culture built on? You know, what is really the establishment of the intangibles that you've created? Because without any of that stuff, before we even get to the court, you know, you can't even go execute on anything. No. Because the mindset, the intangible, the feeling, the essence is absent. And then you're going to go jam in there. Hey, we're going to start playing a certain way. But if you miss a shot, you're coming out kind of approach. Well, no, that's not how we operate.
Right. Right. So let's talk about that for a second. Let's finish your journey first. And I want to come back and talk about your offense and stuff.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you went to Vandy. Then what happened after Vandy?
Yeah, so I went into
First of all, weird court. Yeah. Weird court.
Serious home court advantage.
Serious home court advantage.
The one thing that I hate now, just as a side note, is the coaches that have come into that building and coached there have complained enough and put enough pressure on the SEC that now coaches are allowed to get off the baseline and travel up the sideline. And that bothers me so bad because I'm like, no. You need to stick to the way the intention of the gym was built, which is you got to coach from the baseline.
That's and just why was that built that way? I don't know the history behind that.
Yeah, I don't really know why. I think it was a multi-use facility.
Okay.
So they built it like a stage, like almost like a artistic center as well.
Okay.
And that's just the way it's.
I didn't know if it was like a rule thing that had changed and they stayed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why would you even think to do it that way? I don't know. But we won a lot of games because of it. It got in people's heads, you know, when they came to our gym. So.
Right. That's an advantage. For sure.
You know, so I went on and had a blessed career. Obviously, my family had grown up here. So just a lot of exposure, a lot of connections, a lot of relationships. I got married the summer after I graduated in 1998. I looked at going to play overseas. I had opportunities to go play. Decided not to do that because, once again, my dad, great advice. He was like, Drew, you know, as you're coming out, there's no greater time in terms of your marketability to the community to leverage those relationships to get a good opportunity than right now when you're done with your career. If you go play overseas 3, 5, 10 years, that's great. You're playing basketball, but every year that you're gone, it's almost like diminishing returns back home.
Right.
And so it was just great advice to me. And so at some point I was going to have to hang it up. And so I decided at that point that I was just going to enter the workforce. Went into healthcare. If you know anything about Nashville, it's Music City, USA, but it's also a huge, huge for-profit healthcare town with Hospital Corp of America was founded here, and it spun off a lot of entities.
Right.
It's almost like the Silicon Valley of healthcare, they say. A lot of innovation, a lot of progression, a lot of movement.
Okay.
And so I went into the healthcare technology space, moved quickly up the corporate ladder. By the time I was 27 years old, I was president of a division.
What'd you major in college?
Human organizational development.
Okay.
So basically leadership and organizational dynamic and theory is what I'm passionate about.
Okay.
So went into that, went into, you know, sales, blowing and going, life's good. I had 3 girls at home and, I would leave every single Sunday and come back Thursday. Ugh. Last year I was with the company. I was going like 250 something nights that year. And if I was going to take the next step in my corporate ladder progression, we either were going to have to move as a family or I was even going to be going 5 days a week and forget Friday, even being home. So my little girl, who's now 20 years old, our oldest of five kids, we have five here, three girls and two boys. She was starting at a school called Christ Presbyterian Academy. When we visited schools in the area, we fell in love with the mission, vision, and core value set of that school. And so we had enrolled her in kindergarten at that school. And as just, you know, God and fate would have it all, I was reading a book called Season of Life. Have you ever heard of Season of Life?
I haven't.
It's a great book that I recommend for every single listener to read. But it was written by Jeffrey Marks, Coach. Okay. And it's about Joe Ehrman. And he was a former great football player for the Baltimore Colts. And when he retired from being an all-pro football player, he coached football at the Gilman School in Baltimore. And he had this unique approach of how he used the gift of football to connect to the hearts and minds of kids and really expressed how love could be played out on the football field. And when I read that story, and I'm traveling every day, and my little girl starting kindergarten, it's like all of these factors started coming into play. And then the nail in the coffin that moved me into full-time coaching, I coached, I volunteered and coached in a middle school basketball team.
Okay.
And I just fell in love coaching them. And just the whole thing to me blew my heart away. I mean, I just my heart exploded.
Right.
And so reading this book, traveling, little girl starting, and coaching this team, all of those factors created this perfect storm of this movement into when the job opened up that very first year at Christ Pres Academy, they hired a guy that I had no coaching experience, truly.
Right.
I had led organizations. Basketball's a big part of my story. I had grown up here, so they knew all of that.
Right.
But I never had led a high school program, a varsity program, built a program from the, you know, what that means to vertically integrate, build out a middle school philosophy, all of those things. And so, truth be known, 15 years later, they took a gamble, you know. Right.
And the thing is, in retrospect, there's reasons I haven't left where I have been too, because I wanted to see my kids grow up.
Yeah.
I had opportunities to go to the college game and things like that, but it's like, I told my wife, I said, I don't want to spend July in Vegas in a gym watching a 17-year-old.
No.
I'd rather see my kid grow up.
Right. That's right.
Out of the house faster than I want anyway.
So, right. That's right. Well, and that's, you understand that. And that's what I began to see at an early age. And it all goes back to, once again, and you'll always hear me talk about my father, because he was such a present participant in my story. He was not an absent dad.
Right.
He was very involved. And I didn't know, regardless, you know, what stress was going on at his office, what business trip he had to come in hot from, he was always there. Whether we were playing at Wessington Elementary School or Cameron Indoor Stadium at Duke and all points in between, he was present. And so when my daughter was starting kindergarten, it was like that line of, am I going to be absent or present in their
right.
lives?
Right.
And so I chose what you just described.
Yep.
So it is the truly, you can't put a price tag.
Oh, there's not a day on it. There's not a day I regret it. There's not a day I regret it. Nothing. No. Are you kidding me? I could have made more money. I could have done other things. Are you kidding me? I saw my kids grow up. I mean,
And I'm where my kids are every single day. I mean, I can walk at any point on the way our campus is configured is preschool, you know, to 12th grade.
Right.
And so even when they were in preschool to lower school years, now middle and high school, I can go see them at lunch. I can go find them at any point in the day that I want to see them. And that's just truly a gift how our family, work, school is just woven into this perfect storm of the way that we have this blended lifestyle.
So explain, let's dive into something. You talked on something for a second about building a program. Cause I also stepped into a program that was like I was the only applicant. They were horrible. And I know what that roadmap kind of looked like. What did your roadmap look like for building the program? Cause that intrigues me.
Yeah. So very similar to what you just described again, Coach, that, you know, they hadn't had much historical success at all. I mean, I think
sometimes those are good jobs though. Sometimes those are good jobs.
Well, and that's the way I viewed it. I just viewed, they didn't really know what they had. And as a school, it was a sleeping giant in Nashville. They didn't truly know what they had. This approach to education-based athletics obviously we're a Christian school, so a gospel infusion into the experience. Right. And being able to take somebody on a progression all the way through adolescence into their teenage years, and then they exit and ready to launch, they really didn't know what they had.
No.
And so I just fell in love with it. And I thought, man, we could bring that same mission and vision run parallel as a basketball program to the mission vision of the school. And all of a sudden you're on to something pretty special. And so what we did was, you know, really vertically integrated all the way down into the lower school, because the greatest asset we had on our campus was we had a whole feeder base already on our campus. So building the brand, exposure, language, everything that went on there, it starts at an early age. So those kids get so excited about it, they can't imagine not being a part of it. So now we got these families involved, with these kids involved. They grow up dreaming about being a part of that program from the time that they're little. And now it just connects them into this experience all the way through. And it creates a special, special environment.
It's that branding. I'm telling you, it's the marketing, it's the branding, it's the, you know, what are they doing in third grade? I mean, that's so important for a community.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So we began, you know, the year before I got there, and this isn't anything about me. I mean, because this is a shared experience of a lot of people that are partners of mine in this, our administration, our leadership, our families. I mean, all those that came before me, our players in particular, our staff. I mean, on and on and on, the people that have played a part in this. But they had won 8 games the year before I got there. And then year one, we won 27. It was just a complete mindset shift of just boom, just you can do it. You have what it takes. This is the way we're going to play. This is the way we're going to operate. It's going to be hard. We're going to expect a lot, but you can do it. And right. And they rose in every aspect of everything that went on. And they were all young in their development process. We started 4 sophomores that year. Next year, won 31 games, and then we were off and running at that point. And, you know, now
once that train gets moving, too, the train's moving, man.
The momentum. And the fun part, Coach, that's happened is how it's splashed into the other athletic programs on our campus, where now if you look at – you think about CPA in this market or Christ Presbyterian Academy across the region, you know, we're known for athletic success, and it's not just boys basketball. It's – our football program is gold standard. Our baseball program, our girls basketball program, I mean, both soccer programs. So it's happened across
– How big is the school?
We have 1,300 students, preschool to 12th grade. We average a graduation about 115 kids.
Okay, and then how does that work? Do you play in the association? How does that work?
Yeah, so just 3 years ago, did we have a private-public split? So we played in
you
the
split
public
split into sport. Two, or you're still in one?
Yeah, no, it's we split into two.
Okay.
So we used to the private schools were multiplied 1.8, and then you were reclassed because obviously you could pull from other zip code zones and all the things.
Yep.
So I get that. I understood that.
Yep.
So, you know, it would reclass us, but that started not to have the effect really because private schools were still achieving so much success that there was enough pressure on our state association that it created a private school division and a public school division still under the TSSAA.
Okay. And then how many are in your private and how many are in the public?
Probably 80 private schools. And then the public division probably has 250, I would guess 300.
Okay. Schools. Do you have one state title of each or you have two?
No, there's two private school champions and there's three in basketball. There's three public divisions.
Three public divisions.
But if it's in football, there's 6 public.
Yes. Football's always bigger.
Private. Yeah.
How would you describe your coaching philosophy? So if I came and watched your practice, what would I see? What would be my observation?
Well, first of all, you know, what I would hope is everything that you see is an expression of it being a player's first program, first and foremost, that everything that is going on in the gymnasium is there to serve, encourage, inspire those kids to be the best that they can be today and for their future self, period. That's the vision of everything that we do every day.
Right.
Our program is built on the parable of the talents. And what I mean by that is in a world where Rivals and 24/7 Sports and ESPN has built a star system
Right.
That how many stars by your name somehow makes you more important than the guy sitting next to you. We have swam upstream against that, and we built our program on the parable of the talent. So we don't cut. I have a ton of kids in the gym. If you came to our practice, you would see 40 kids practicing at one time, 9th through 12th grade, all skill levels and abilities, because we want everybody to realize that their story matters and that they have something that the larger whole is benefiting from, that they have a specific strength and gift that needs to be optimized. And we want them to feel valued in our program. You know, we want them to understand that the goal of winning a game is never more important than the purpose of the man that they're becoming. So we always talk about goal versus purpose is very, very important language to us. And the goal never supersedes the purpose. A score on a scoreboard, a win, a loss, a made or missed shot never supersedes how I feel about those kids. I never want them to ever, ever doubt that at all. And then the last thing I would hope you would see is, you hear me talk about this all the time too, is there's a difference between building a resume and building a eulogy. And so we talk about that all the time, that we are men.
Say that again. Say that again, coach.
There's a difference between building a resume, because, you know, we're so much as a society in a hurry to add titles, acclaim, status, and awards to our resume instead of really being worried about the things that truly matter and that are eternal. And those are the things that will be spoken about you at your at a eulogy one day when they lay me in the ground.
I love that. That's a great quote. That's a great quote.
So the purpose should line up with the eulogy, and obviously goal and resume. I mean, we're competitors. If we're tipping it up, we've prepared, we've scouted, we've filmed, we've game planned, we've thought through, we've walked through. We're going to try to beat you.
Right.
But as soon as that buzzer goes off after 32 minutes and we walk up to the locker room and we share thoughts about, hey, we could have done this or that better. When we walk out of there, we don't want their personhood to be dependent on what their performance just was. And that's our biggest thing as a program.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe, like, jump up and down, review, do whatever you got to do. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.